Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Controller, the one personality of Godhead, has ecstatically become a devotee, yet his body is transcendental and not materially tinged. Purport. Purport's a little lengthy, so please listen up. There are different tattvas or truths, including Isha tattva, Jiva tattva, and Shakti tattva. Isha tattva refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is the Supreme Living Force. In the Kathi Upanishad, it is said, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Eternal and the Supreme Living Force. The living entities are also eternal and also living forces, but they are very minute in quantity. Whereas the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Being Force, Supreme Living Force, and the Supreme Eternal. The Supreme Eternal never accepts a body of a temporary material nature, whereas the living entities, or parts and parcel of the Supreme Eternal, are prone to do so. Thus, according to the Vedic mantras, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Master of innumerable living entities. The Mayavadi philosophers, however, try to equate the minute living entity with the Supreme Living Entity, because they recognize no distinction between them. Their philosophy is called Advaitavad, or monism. Factually, however, there is a distinction. This verse is especially meant to impart to the Mayavadi philosopher the understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller. The Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, is Krishna Himself, but as a transcendental pastime, He has accepted the form of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes to this planet exactly like a human being, some rascals consider Him to be one of the ordinary humans. One who thinks in that mistaken way is described as a mudha, or foolish. Therefore, one should not foolishly consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an ordinary human being. He has accepted the ecstasy of a devotee, but He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there have been many imitation incarnations of Krishna who cannot understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Himself and not a human being, ordinary human being. Less intelligent men create their own gods by advertising a human being as God. This is their mistake. Therefore, here the words Tanra Suda Kalevaram warn that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body is not material but purely spiritual. One should not therefore accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ordinary devotee, although he has assumed the form of a devotee. Yet one must certainly know that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He accepted the ecstasy of a devotee, one should not misunderstand His pastimes and place Him in the exactly same position as Krishna. That's an important point. I'll read that again. Yet one must certainly know that although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He accepted the ecstasy of a devotee, one should not misunderstand His pastimes and place Him in exactly the same position as Krishna. It is for this reason only that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was advertised as Krishna or Vishnu, He blocked His ears, not wanting to hear Himself addressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a class of devotees called Gauranga Nagari, who stage plays of Krishna's pastimes using vigraha or form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a mistake that is technically called rasa-bhasa. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to enjoy as a devotee, one should not disturb him by addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya manobhistam staptitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadammayam dadati swam padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajano Lambita Bujo Kanakama Takso Sankirtanai Papitaro Kamalaya Takso Vishwambaro Dwijabaro Yuga Dharma Falo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sano Dido Garo Daya Puspan Vanto Chitra Samo Tamo Nudo. These were one verse that is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The other one is the first verse in the Chaitanya Bhagavat describing the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very magnanimous and very merciful. He's known as Karuna Avatar. And he comes simply to... He comes for different reasons, as explained in the Shastras. There are six reasons why Lord Chaitanya comes. Three of them are considered to be external. External means for the benefits of the entire world. And internal, there are three reasons why he comes for the internal reasons. And that's for his own transcendental pleasure. Of course, when the Lord performs activities for his own transcendental pleasure, everyone shares in that activity. So in that sense, even though they're internal, still the Lord's mercy extends outward to all those who are able to accept that mercy. The external reasons, one is the one mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham jishamiyaham pavitranayam sarunam vinasanaya chaduskutam dharma samstarpanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna speaks this. But Lord Chaitanya also comes to revive religious principles. When religion has gone down to a certain degree and people have become atheistic or very materialistic, then the Lord arranges something to change the situation. Sometimes he comes personally, and sometimes he sends his representative to do the work. He also comes personally. In this case, he came personally. Why? Because Advaita Acharya, who is none other than a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. When we say Sadashiva, we say that Shiva who is the original Shiva of all Shivas. In the spiritual world, there's one planet of Sadashiva, which is the source of all the other Shivas. So Shiva has a planet in Vaikuntha also. And that is the spirit, that is the manifestation of a combination of Mahavishnu, who is the expansion of Sankarshan, who brings about the creation. All creation falls from Mahavishnu. So Advaita Acharya is no small personality by any means. And he petitioned, or he prayed in such a way, as Lord Chaitanya said, your loud call, I was sleeping on the milk ocean and your calling so loudly you woke me up. His calling, when we speak loud, he was speaking loud from the heart. He was feeling the compassion for the fallen conditioned souls who are taking up materialistic life in such a way that in the name of religion, this is important to understand, because there are various ways to perform religion, but real religion is devotional service, or the process of submitting oneself to the desires of the Lord. That is real spirituality. Anything else is what we say, we mix in our own material desires. I want, and then as soon as you say I want, you add something onto it. Whatever it is. I want to be happy by performing devotional service. That's also material desire. Devotional service is the platform of happiness. But the happiness comes when Krishna is happy, not by our own arrangements. So the point is to made is made is that real devotional service means savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhakti ahoksuche hoitukya priyata eyatma supersedati. Uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service can only satisfy the soul. The soul can never be satisfied completely by anything less than full surrender to the Lord. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to make the process easy. We hear how Krishna came and he spoke Bhagavad Gita. And he spoke very philosophically about the nature of himself, what is his relationship with the material energy, how the material energy works, what is the nature of the jiva's relationship with himself, how does the material energy bring about various manifestations, and then, of course, destroy those same manifestations, activities in various categories of activities, karma yoga, jnana yoga, so many things. And then after Krishna spoke all his philosophical teachings, which is the basis for the practice of devotional service, he said, surrender. Sarva dharma pariksajam mamekam saranam. It's a bad word, surrender. But that's, when Krishna said it, you know, he was saying that out of all his knowledge, now, what is that? Oh, Gyanamam Puramam Gyanamam Papadyante. One who knows, one who has knowledge, one who has completed knowledge, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabham. One who understands everything. There's only one thing to do. Surrender. If your knowledge doesn't take you to surrender, Shrama Avikeva is useless. It's actually a big, what we say, burden. If you carry a weight, and that weight is important, then that weight will be beneficial when you get to your goal. But if you carry a weight unnecessarily, then that weight will keep you from getting to the goal. So the weight of what we say, knowledge that doesn't bring one to surrender in devotional service, is ultimately, you know, what we say, something that will keep us bound up within the false ego, the sense of I am something other than Jiva Surupai, Krishna, Krishna, and Nityadas. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's teaching the process in a very, what we say, direct and very powerful way. Now, what is that direct and powerful way? Congregational glorification of the Lord by performing Sankirtan. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangopanga Saparshadam Yaginai Yagya Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasaha. What is that yagya? People do so many yagyas, homas, pujas, vratas, and so many things to ancestors, for the Lord, and so many other forms of what we say religious practices. But ultimately, the culmination or the perfection of all yagyas, and the only yagya that is really important in this age, is Sankirtan Yagya. Because Sankirtan Yagya is the Yuga Dharma, it's the means for self-realization. Sometimes we're criticized by other groups, especially Mayavadis. Lord Chaitanya was highly criticized. What was it? He came to Varanasi, Kashi, what is the other name? One more. Benares. It was called Benares in those days. 60,000 Mayavadis were there, headed by Prakasananda Saraswati. I mean, it was a bastion, a stronghold of Mayavadi philosophy. Lord Chaitanya brought a few of his associates, started to dance and chant in the streets. The word got back to the Mayavadis. Who's this sentimentalist? He's a sannyasi, and he's just singing and dancing like with a bunch of sentimental people. And they just wrote him off as just, you know, a disturbance. And then the word got back to Lord Chaitanya that he was being criticized by the Mayavadi, so he decided to pay them a visit. And he did. And when he came in, they were sitting in their assembly with the leader, Prakasananda Saraswati, and the Lord didn't present himself in any way except a simple, humble devotee. He was actually, he came in and didn't even join the assembly. He simply sat by the door where the place where you wash your feet, which is considered an unclean place. And he simply sat there. And then they addressed him. And they said, you know, they asked him, what, you know, who's your guru? Oh, you're coming from Bharati, right? It's not a very high level of sannyas. You said Saraswati, there are other forms of sannyas that you should take. Actually, you're on a very lower level. And they started to somewhat, and then they said, why don't you study Vedanta? You know, be like us. Know the scriptures. This is the basis of this is spiritual life. Spiritual life means to know philosophical teachings and to speak philosophical teachings to others. Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual master said I was a mudha, a murkha, a fool. I don't know anything. He said, you can't understand these things. Just chant Hare Krishna. So he presented himself in a very, what we say, humble way, in a way that he, and then when they saw his humility, they were somewhat attracted. And then he finally started to speak and explain what is real Vedanta, ultimately. And then he explained the importance of kirtan. And then gradually, there's two places in the seventh chapter. Also in this chapter, you'll go on to, it's actually a whole section here about Saraswati, Prakasananda Saraswati and Lord Chaitanya. And again, in the, I think it's the 25th chapter of Madhya Leela, again it's mentioned. But anyway, it's a wonderful pastime how Lord Chaitanya converted all these Mayavadis. 60,000 Mayavadis became Vaishnavas, including their leader. Because they were somehow or other able to somehow hear. They had a little bit of sense of hearing. And Lord Chaitanya's appearance just opened up their minds to listen. He was so beautiful. He's called Guru Sundar. Sundar means beautiful, golden complexion. Lord Chaitanya was the pinnacle of beauty. He's not only Krishna, but he's Radharani also. Radha Krishna Nohiyanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nohiyanya. And this is the point that Prabhupada is making in this verse, that although he is Krishna himself and he comes and his body is transcendental, sometimes we see, just like we see the pastime where Jagaya Madai, they caused harm to Lord Nityananda. So they threw a pot and the pot hit his head and his head started to bleed. So you might think, oh, there's blood. So that's an ordinary material body. But it appears like that for the non-devotees. But the devotees know that the Lord takes on a body that is always transcendental to material energy. Although it may appear to act in the same way, it is simply an appearance. Just like when we see the deity, what do we see? Do we actually see Krishna and Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Nityananda? Do we actually see them in their complete form? We see, sometimes we see something. I know, at least I once in a while get a little glimpse of the mercy. But that's God there. He's there. It's not like it's a different God in the spiritual world and somehow or other we made some forms and it's kind of like close to what actually is. No, it's actually understood that the deity is non-different. The word is non-different in the absolute sense from the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is that understood by bhakti? When we approach with love, yayatamam prapadyate tamstadaiva bhajami aham. When one actually has love for Krishna, then prem, what is that verse? Premanjarito bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva ridayesu vilokayanti yam shama sundara chinta guna sarupya govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Then you can see Krishna by bhakti. But just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, he was standing in front of the deities and he wears glasses. So he had forgotten his glasses. one of his brahmacharis came up to him and said, Maharaj, should I get your glasses? He said, don't bother. What can we see? What can we see? He said, we are not to see Krishna. We are to be seen by Krishna. He said, that is real darshan. Real darshan is Krishna wants to see you. So you present yourself in front of the deity in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. That is called darshan. There is the seer and the seen. And who is seeing and who is seen? Krishna is the seer and we're the ones that are being seen. So that is darshan. That is real darshan. And so how to see Krishna, actually, when we say we want to see Krishna or want to see the deity, the process is here. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarnam. By chanting the glories of the holy names of the Lord, that purifies the mind and heart. And the eyes develop what we call bhakti, or love. So as the heart becomes purified through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one can gradually see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna reveals himself through the process of purifying cheta, darpanam, marjanam. Purifying the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That pleases the Lord. We want to please the Lord, have kirtan. Because in this age, he's come to demonstrate it and to teach it. To teach it, to demonstrate it, to practice it himself, and the Yuga Dharma. Therefore, the third reason why the Lord comes, external reason, is to spread the Sankirtan movement everywhere. So kirtan comes from the word kirti. Kirti means fame. And so therefore, one who is performing kirtan is spreading the fame of the Lord. Or, we can use it in another way, kirtan means that that person who is glorifying the Lord becomes famous. In the sense that in the eyes of Krishna, that person becomes very important, one who glorifies Krishna. So this is the word kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya came for these three external reasons. But the internal reasons, what is the internal reasons? He is Radharani. Or he is in the mood of Radharani. He's actually Krishna, but he is in the mood of Radharani. He's not in the mood of Krishna. He's in the mood of a devotee of Krishna. So Prabhupada said one should respect that and understand that and not disturb his mood by calling him Krishna. Not disturb his mood by calling him Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya would sometime be addressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada writes here, he blocks his ears. Why? Because, and Prabhupada refers to it here, Aishishi Radha Gokulinanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Gornitai Gijai. As Prabhupada refers here, that there are a class of philosophers called Mayavadis. We say they have no philosophy. It's more like putting words together in such a way that it seems like a philosophy. Nityo, nityanam, chaitanas, chaitananam. Nityo means one, nityanam means many. So there is one who maintains the many. And that one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, chaitanas, chaitananam, all of them, all living entities are spiritual by nature. But there is a qualitative difference between the living entity and the Lord. The Lord is the Supreme Absolute Truth. And we are also part of that Absolute Truth, but we are called Jiva. We are small. We're Vibhinamsa. We're just tiny fractions. And therefore, the soul, although the soul is spiritual, it can never be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It can never be the Absolute Principle. And when we hear the Mayavadis, they speak that we're all God, and somehow we forgot God, and forgot that we are actually God. We come to this world to enact our leelas as a Supreme Lord, and when we purify ourselves through our own leelas, then we realize that we're actually the Supreme, like that. But it's such an easy philosophy to defeat. I remember I went to an interfaith meeting in 2004 in Barcelona, Spain. I was with His Holiness Rup Damodar Goswami at the time. And one of the nights during this, it was a week-long session of meetings throughout the day. At night they would have little smaller meetings in different places. So they had Hindu night. It was called Hindu night. And therefore all the Hindu groups that had come were meant to meet and discuss whatever we're supposed to discuss. But when I got there, the majority of them were Mayavadis. I mean, some pretty heavy-duty personalities. I mean, you look like, you know, Sarah Prakasananda's group, you know. And they took over the whole meeting. They just took it over. They sat on the stage. They had their followers. The devotees came. We had our little book table. We also brought some prasadam. And so they started to speak, and they're starting to speak all their nonsense, and some of the devotees were getting really upset, and I was just like burning with anger. But we figured we'd get our turn, so we have to go through this and just last this. It was painful. And one of them was saying, "You are great. You are powerful. You can do so many. You can control material energy." Wow, all the people said, "Wow, I could do that, yeah." So I was just listening. Rup Damodar Maharaj, he's so humble. He was just like Lord Chaitanya amongst the Prakasananda's group, you know. And then he came up, and after they spoke all their nonsense, you know, and then he got up and he spoke one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about, you know, Vasudeva become sarvam. What is that verse? Vasudeva. Yeah, he spoke on those verses. I don't know if they got the message, but anyway. Yeah, he went right to the source. But he spoke so humbly. It was like Lord Chaitanya addressing the Mayavadis. And they listened, they acknowledged, he said so many, I guess they reinterpreted what he said according to their own. That's the way you do things, right? When you hear something, you kind of filter it according to what you think is what's being said, or what you want to hear, actually. And so this went on, and then, you know, then we decided we had our turn. We're going to have kirtan. So we got all our devotees together and a few other guests, and we just had this raging kirtan. As soon as the kirtan started, all the Mayavadis left. They just walked out. But you know, some of their followers stayed. And that was good, because at the end, they came to us, and they were really nice. They were saying, "Oh, this is so nice, thank you." But we noticed, as soon as the kirtan started, they don't like kirtan. They think it's some kind of sentimental. They think Krishna's fictitious. And that all these are nice stories to help you get a message about philosophy. But it's all mythology. It's just some eulogies. But, you know, what Arjuna addressed Krishna. He said, "Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitam, Paramam Pavan." And then he went on to explain that you are the Supreme Personality of God. And not only you are saying, Vyasadeva is saying, and Narada is saying, Asita is saying, Devala is saying, all the great sages say, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's confirmed throughout the scriptures. So, therefore, Mayavadis, it's another form of cheating. In a material world, people want to get something through the process of sense gratification. So from the spiritual angle, people who are Mayavadis, they want the same thing, but in using spiritual philosophies and lifestyles to get the same thing. What is that? Prestige, honor, followers, wealth, so many other things. Lord Chaitanya says what? Nadanam, najanam, nasundaram, kavitam, vajagadisha kamaye. He says these things are simply obstacles in the practice of devotional service. I don't want them. But in the name of spirituality, we have what is called mayavadi. And to use a nice word, philosophy. It's not philosophy. It's philosophy. We sometimes, just for the sake of etiquette, just like we use the word Hindu sometimes, but there's no such thing as a Hindu. A Hindu is a name that was given by the Mohammedans, by the people who were living on the other side of the Sindhu River. And therefore they used the word Hindu to describe these people in the geographical location. That's all. That's explained. And that was because at that time they were the ruling class within the world. But nowhere, and Prabhupada makes a point, nowhere in the scripture do you find the word Hindu. Scriptures don't say that. They say Sanatan Dharmi, one who practices Sanatan Dharma, or Vaishnavas, or devotees like that. So in the same way, this idea of that the living entity is actually a God is just some concoction. But Lord Chaitanya says, if you hear Mayavad philosophy, that's why we had kirtan at the end. After listening to all this Mayavad philosophy, we had to purify the place. And the devotees were wild with kirtan. It was just because you needed a little extra to get all the ghosts of philosophical misconceptions out. So, Lord Chaitanya, and that's why Prabhupada, you notice, if you listen to Prabhupada and you read his purports, he constantly emphasizes this, because the last snare of Maya is a person can perform devotional service for years and make nice advancement and actually become self-realized. And unless they're actually develop the proper mood, that self-realization can turn into thinking that one is God. Yeah. Prabhupada said it's the last snare of Maya. Maya tries to attack you in so many ways. On the external platform by sensual objects, and on the subtle platform by pride, distinction, various other, what we say, it's more subtle forms of material desires. But the highest and most subtlest form is one that's thinking they're God. And that actually happened in ISKCON, where people were saying, Prabhupada's God. Srila Prabhupada is God, but he's not saying it. But we know he is. When Prabhupada heard that, the message got to him. He was in Japan at the time. It was in 1970. The deviation started in New Vrindavan, which is the source of all deviations. I can say that because I have personal experience. A lot of personal experience. I can give a whole class on philosophical deviations that happened in our movement. That's the easiest class to give. But and when Prabhupada got the word, he said, he added, Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Pastyata. He actually added that part to his pranam mantras, that give his identity. He's a devotee or follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati. He's come to the Western world with the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to destroy Mayavadiism and Buddhism. Impersonalism and Buddhism. Buddhism is what? That the goal is to become nothing. Right? Because something is miserable. Prabhupada says if you're sick, you can't eat. And when you try to eat, food is maybe unpalatable or gets you more sick. And if someone tells you that once you're well, you're going to really have some nice feast, you'll say, oh, I got to eat when I'm again? Oh, the eating is so bad. But when you're sick, then there's restrictions. When you're well, then you become normal and do everything that a normal person does. So in the same way, the Buddhists, they think this material world is a place of suffering. It is. And therefore, stop all suffering by stopping all activity. And then therefore you become nothing, or you merge into the unwoven. So that is very much common today. Common. That people want to get free from suffering, they think, by stopping material activities. But take up spiritual activities. That's the whole process. So Buddhism, and then Prabhupada added that. And then he very quickly told the persons who were making this philosophical deviation public to all the devotees, he told them, you can't stay in the movement. And then he said one thing. He said, there's only one thing worse than underestimating the spiritual master, overestimating the spiritual master. Overestimating. Because you think and the idea is that if he's God and he's the spiritual master, when I become the spiritual master, I become God too. So, therefore, Prabhupada spent so much time, energy to teach us what is actually the understanding. So, for those who are simple and humble, it's easy. But as soon as you get some knowledge, then you're in trouble. Because you start to think in different ways. That's why I was explaining yesterday. How many of our scholars that were Vaishnava scholars in our movement, who were working with Prabhupada's books, who were actually giving philosophical teachings and writing books, how many of them are left? Many of them, mostly all of them left. Because they started to think in a different way. So therefore, how do you overcome that? One has to very carefully read Srila Prabhupada's books, understand it, but the most important thing is we have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Trinadapi sunichena tayorapi suishnuna amanina mamanadena kirtaniyasada. That's what Lord Chaitanya is trying to teach us. Chant the holy names of the Lord. And as you purify your heart, then it's more easy and more natural to accept Vaishnava philosophy. It becomes understandable. It becomes acceptable like that. So we mix in a lot of Mayavadi terms. I think we have Sureshwar Prabhu. He gives a nice seminar explaining what has come into our movement that is not really philosophically correct in relationship to Prabhupada's teachings. You're giving a seminar here again? Yeah, please go to his seminars. You'll learn so much about Srila Prabhupada, your relationship with Prabhupada, what Prabhupada expected us as far as the movement is concerned. It's a wonderful seminar. I've heard it twice from him, and I've also somehow tried to say it also in my teachings, in my classes. So we need to have a clear understanding. But most important is we accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot approach Krishna in this age unless we approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is important to understand. Sometimes people think, well, there's Krishna and there is Ram. That's all we need. No. Bhakti Tru Maharaj was giving a nice class when we were on the boat cruise. He was explaining that in this age you have to approach Radha and Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no other way. Because Radha and Krishna have become one in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're actually worshipping Radha and Krishna. According to the practical and what we say, understanding of Shastra. In other words, he's giving not only the object of worship as himself, but also the means of worship, how to worship him like that. Krishna Varna Twasa Krishna Sangopanga Suparshana Yagnai Sankirtanai Praya Yajati Husumedasaha. Such an important verse. Kalair Dosha Nide Rajan Asti Eko Mahagun Kirtana Vikrishnasya Mukta Sangha. Everything centers around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he writes his glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should read those prayers. Unbelievable prayers. He's glorifying Lord Chaitanya above all the other incarnations. And he says, I don't want to hear about Matsya or Korma, this or that. I just want Gauranga. Just give me Gauranga. That's all. Just Gauranga. That's it. That's all I want is Lord Chaitanya. He's fixed on Lord Chaitanya. And so if we have that understanding that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, have come to open up the whole storehouse of love of God, then we can approach Krishna in devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions?